Welcome if you're new here at Overflow. Love to hope that you just fall in and find your place here as family. We just love being a part of God's kingdom and to share this time with encouraging each other. And our purpose for being here as a church is to see life transformed through Jesus, which is what he loves doing. And it's the best bit about following Jesus. And we have a vision that we put up on the wall to make sure we are mindful of it. We want to be a family of wholehearted people. We want to become unmistakably like Jesus and to go out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. And this term, we are focusing on becoming unmistakably like Jesus. Who wants to be unmistakably like Jesus? Wouldn't that be awesome? God help us. He does, he will. And I want to talk about how he's going to, how he wants to, if we're willing. This term, we're going to be focused on being discipled by Jesus. I don't want you to be discipled by me. I'm very limited. Jesus is unlimited. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want to provide some teaching and resources and environment and activities where you can come to know Jesus more. But there's nothing I can do that he does. And we really want to enjoy that this term. Because he is the only way to God. He's the only way to connect with our Creator. And he is the real truth. He is the real life. And we get to go and take it with God through him. What I want to cover in our short time this morning is I want to look at why do we love Jesus. Or I want to share why I love some of the reasons I love Jesus. But more particularly, why does Jesus love to disciple you? Why is he just busting to disciple you? And if we're honest, what are some of the challenging aspects of being discipled by Jesus? My favorite number is 8. My birthday is on the 8th of the 8th. So I'm going to talk about 8 things I love about Jesus. 8 of the aspects of why Jesus loves to disciple us and 8 of the challenging aspects. Okay, so if you're keeping numbers, we can track where we're going. But I really want you just to pause. Why do you love Jesus? So if you're sitting next to someone who you're happy to talk to, I just want you to share just what's the first things when you say, why do you love Jesus? Or if you don't really know Jesus, what do you admire about Jesus? So I'll just give you a minute. Just want you to be mindful of why you love Jesus before I share why I do. Just give you a minute. Please share. What I love about Jesus, 8 things. 1, that Jesus knows me the best and loves me the most, even at my worst. And I remember as a 21-year-old, very hypocritical church-attending person, I was nowhere. I had nothing to offer Jesus. I had no good in my life. I was focused on self-satisfaction. And I was going nowhere. And all I did was say, Jesus, help me. And my life changed. And I love that he continues to love me at my worst. The days where I'm not so brilliant, where I'm not so kind, he still loves me. And it wasn't me searching all the ways I can get my life together, and it was Jesus came after me. I just remember that day, my heart just pounding and just this invitation, this calling, come to me, let me into your life. Give me a chance. And he did. He gave himself to me and he continues to pursue me. You don't have to flog yourself to get Jesus' attention. He pursues me. And he's just so brilliant. He makes everything look like plan A, even my stuff-ups. And after dropping out of university and being unemployed for the best part of 2 years, no idea how to get a job. 3 days after that moment where I gave my life to Jesus, where I accepted him as Lord and Savior, I got a full-time permanent job with the government working with unemployed people. And it was just like, he's just so clever. He wastes nothing. So all of those years, I'm just going, what a waste of time. So helpful for me to have empathy for people that are unemployed when you've been unemployed. And it just does it again and again and again. He will waste nothing. He'll use the good things in my life. He'll use the rubbish things in my life. And he just turns it around for my good. Jesus is always so kind to me. And so patient. He's just it's the small things that happen at just the right time. You go, oh, Jesus, you are clever. Just time after time after time. It's not necessarily the massive, big, miraculous things. It's just the things you just go, he knows me. He knows where I'm at. He knows what I need. And he's just so patient with me. I can't believe I'm here doing what I do. It's just amazing. And I just love that Jesus isn't about making me a good boy and just managing my, what I know are the laws, what should I do, what shouldn't I do. He changes my heart. He makes me want to do the things that he wants me to do. And he turns my heart away from the things that aren't good for me. He's so kind in transforming me. And I just love Jesus because what you read is what you get. He is true to his promises. And that's why I love talking about him, because it's not, well, on a good day, you might get him. He's just so kind. He's just so true to everything that he promises. And he's fun. I'm just looking forward to meeting him and spending time with him personally. But he brings so much joy into my life, and he brings the best out of me, and he makes my relationship so much richer with his joy. Not talking about dad jokes, but just, he's just so creative. He's just so clever. It's brilliant. It's not boring. And the more I know and experience of Jesus, the more I know that there is to come. There's so much more to experience about Jesus. So I just want to turn to look at, why does Jesus love to disciple up? Not, you know, why do we need to, but why does Jesus want to? Why does he love to disciple you? Why does he want you to take up the invitation? 8 things. Firstly, he just wants you to have the best life possible, and you're not going to experience it without him. And it's not that he's arrogant or rude or religious. He just knows you. He loves you. He has a purpose for you. And he wants you to have real eternal life, a better life than you could ever dream of. A life made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Who wants that? He wants you to have the best life possible. He wants to be our healer. Now, he wants to help our medical conditions. And I've certainly experienced some of those from some acts of stupidity, but he also wants to heal our wounds. More importantly, it's the injuries on the inside. It's the injuries of the heart that he really wants to heal. And we all have wounds. It just comes with being human. And he wants to be our healer, that heal our wounds. And we get healed. But I can guarantee you one thing, you're going to get wounded again. It just comes with, unless, can say if you go away into the forest or somewhere, but then you get wounded because you've been isolated. He just wants to be our healer, and he wants to know that he's available to heal us physically and internally. He came to heal the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind, the inside, the outside, and the oppressed. He wants to give us freedom. And Jesus wants us to enjoy being led and empowered by his Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit, God promised it. Jesus promised it to his disciples, and they're going, hang on a second, you're going where? Like, you've only been around for a few years. Where does that leave us? And he says, don't worry, you're better off if I go. My helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me, to act on my behalf. It is the Spirit of Jesus, it's Holy Spirit. They're not kind of disconnected. They're one heart. And we're encouraged to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily, regularly, filled and refilled and constantly guided by him. He's such a gift and he leads us in the best possible ways. Jesus loves the disciples because he wants us to experience and enjoy all that prayer offers. And I'm often limited my prayers. Okay, God, this is what I need done. These are the things that need to change. That I'm not. Prayer is so, so much more than requesting stuff to God, although he loves that. It's relationship with God. It's listening to God. It's interceding on other people's hearts. It's getting God's heart for us and God's heart for people and God's heart for the world. And we can't do it. It's such a gift. And Jesus wants to help us to not just make sure you pray, tick. He wants us to savor the privilege, the gift, the power, the freedom that comes when we actually pray. And we get rewarded. That's a bonus. And he wants us to experience the reality, the truth of his kingdom. He has a way of life. He is a king. And he has a way of life that we're going to experience in the future that's just going to be unbelievable. And he doesn't want us to wait till we're dead. He wants us to start bringing the experience of his reality into our life and into the lives of people around us. His kingdom's not an earthly kingdom. It's not just a good place like this. He doesn't work through political means. He's upside down. He's amazing. And he wants us to be asking, God, may your kingdom come. May your way of doing life be our way of doing life. May what you're doing in heaven be done here on earth. He wants us to experience and to share and to explain the reality of his kingdom that's available to us on earth. And the truth is, we're in a war. Really bad stuff happens. And Jesus has a very real enemy that has quite significant influence on this world, in our society, and can influence us. And he wants us to live in authority over the enemy. He's given it to us, but we need to learn from him. How do we do it? How do we make sure that Satan has no place in our lives, in our families, in our friends, in our community, in our church? And he's given us the tools. He's given us the armor of God so that we can stand firm against the strategies of the enemy. We need to be aware. It's not about fearful. It's not, Satan's got nothing. Not when you say the name of Jesus. And we just need to learn and walk in our authority and use the weapons that God has given us so that he doesn't influence anything around us. Jesus wants us to enjoy being a unique part of his church. His church, and it's a global church. It's an eternal. It's his body. It's his bride. It's beautiful. I love being part of his church. I love being part of this church. What a privilege. It's beautiful. And every one of us has a special function. We all belong to each other. You don't have to earn your spot here. You just got it. You just got to find out what that is. We've got leaders that are happy to help if you want to kind of know, well, what's my part? Because Jesus is the head of his body, the church. He makes it all fit together. It's not up to me, thank goodness. And as each part does its work, everyone else grows. The whole body's healthy and growing and full of love. Who doesn't want that? And finally, ultimately, Jesus wants to disciple us so that we know how to receive his love. We want to get rid of all anything that's blocking it. He wants us to grow in his love. Just be loved. Just know the grace, the affection, the hope that he has for you. Unconditional, unearned, overflowing. Makes it a whole lot easier to love people when you are loved. He needs to disciple us to be able to receive more of his love, because he wants to love people around us, and he can't do it where people don't know him and his love. And that's how we get to prove that we're being discipled by him. That's the ultimate litmus test. What's your love around, love for people look like? Anybody up for it? Two? Great. Excellent. See you next week. So easy. Just rock up on a Sunday. Stay awake for half an hour. But if we're honest, what is challenging about being discipled by Jesus? Just give you 30 seconds to think. I won't get you to share it with someone. I just want you to think. Is it easy? Is it hard? What's challenging about being discipled by Jesus? What came to mind? Introverts and extroverts are welcome. Just a couple of thoughts. What is challenging about being discipled by Jesus? Whether you can do what he asked you to do? Are you a ventriloquist? I couldn't. Die to yourself? Sorry, Ray. Can you say that again? Wrestling with the flesh, dying to yourself every day. Graham? Not having a fear of failing. Yeah, so good. Being faithful to him. What else came to mind? Wanting to do it my way. God needs some help sometimes. What else? What else is challenging about being discipled, if you're honest? Second guessing. Am I hearing God? Am I doing the right thing? Is this what God wants? Yeah, what are people going to think of me when I start talking about Jesus, or having to give up things? Jan? Getting to church on a Sunday when it's cold and wet. Yeah. All right. 8 challenging things that I've realized. Ain't so easy about being discipled by Jesus. Okay, so these are some of them. Only top 8, you know. All right. First challenge, who am I? How do I get my identity? Am I people impressed by me because I can do things, because I'm good at sport, because I can do my job really well, because my kids behave in public? Because I've got a flash car, house. The challenge of having our identity just anchored in who God calls me to be, primarily daughters and sons of his, that's enough. We get that, all the rest of stuff, let that go. Then you'll live a free life. And our calling, we all have things that God's got for us to enjoy doing. Not, oh, I better do something. God's got something that's going to bring you alive. And he's calling us into a life of purpose. So many verses, and I don't have time to read them through. I apologize for that. If anybody wants the slides, you can certainly get them from me afterwards. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. He's planned. He's got stuff for us. If we don't know what it is yet, keep asking. Living life full of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Now, this is so easy to receive. God, give me the things I don't deserve. Lord, forgive me for the things that I do deserve to be punished for. Forgive me for my sins that I know I'm going to do again tomorrow. Or that's the easy bit. But can we do that to other people? Can we really show grace? Give things to people when they don't deserve it? Show mercy to people who deserve to be punished? Even if it's me not talking to them, that should teach them a lesson. And forgiveness, letting it go, praying a blessing on those who have offended me, hurt me, disappointed me, that's challenging. Live continually abiding in his presence. Jesus is available. He doesn't have a day off. He has a Sabbath, but he's still looking after us. He's still interceding for us. And he is always available. He's always wanting to connect and commune and abide with us. Oh, how many days where it's like going to bed, reflecting on the day, going, oh, yeah, God, that's right. He was around. I could have done with him maybe if I'd asked him to help me with that issue, that person, that challenge. How hard it is to take up the invitation of continuing to abide in him. Jesus lives in us. He wants to do all of life with us. He doesn't force himself on us. And if we allow him in, he'll make every aspect of life better. He wants to abide in me and I in him. It's just this incredible truth that we get to live out and experience. Not easy. Surrender and dying to self. Probably the hardest of all. We are all stained by pride. We all have a rebellious nature that God is trying to shift and change and refine. And he can't make us surrender. He can't make us die to ourselves. It's our choice. That's what free will is all about. That's what love is all about. But he says, trust me. Don't lean on your understanding. I know a few more things that are going on than you do. Ask me. Seek my will in all you do. I'll show you what path to take. Daily, take up your cross. Daily, every day. Die to myself. Put other people above myself. Every day? Whew. But if you want life, it's the key. Living out of gratitude and in worship. So entitled, so self-made, so oriented to be lacking in gratitude. God wants all of our life to be an experience of his provision. He wants to give us all so we can be grateful, and yet he wants all of life to be a response of worship to him. Everything that we do, everything that we say, out of what he's given to us. Sharing his good news. What if people don't want to hear it? What if I don't know how to say it? How do I show it? How does that happen? People can't know about him unless someone tells them. How beautiful are the messengers, feet of the messengers who share his good news. And that's why Jesus came, to tell the good news of the kingdom of God, his reality. That's our job. That's our privilege. But it's challenging. Doing life in God's time and God's rhythm. He knows how life works. He knows what's best for us, and he knows he lived out of rest. He had the perfect timing, and he wants to do it. That probably the favorite passage in the message paraphrase. Come to me, get away with me, you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Who's busy? Jesus wants to be in the midst of our busyness. And the eighth one, faith. Faith is beyond relying on myself. Courage, it's overcoming the fears, the things I'm not sure about. It's challenging. But Jesus is there going, let me help you understand that your problems and challenges are opportunities to grow your faith. I can't grow your faith without them. Oh, why is that happening to me? Because I want to grow your faith. I want to grow you in obedience. I want to grow you in courage. It's challenging. Life's full of trials, problems, difficulties, annoyances. Those people, I can do everything that God asked me to do with the help of Jesus who gives me the strength and power. Thank goodness. So, what are we going to do? What do you reckon? What should we do about this? Funny you should say that. The Sunday's gatherings, if you're able to get up, even if it's cold and wet, and if you can be here or listen to the recording if you're not here, we're going to be enjoying hearing people speak. And I think we've got 8 different people sharing on how Jesus wants to train us and apprentice us to do all of these things, to enjoy all of these things, to understand how it all works and what's the keys, and just to enjoy all of life in the midst, in the face of these challenges. Anyone interested? Beautiful. And we're going to practice the way, practicing the way of Jesus. This is what we're going to be offering to anyone who wants to do a midweek teaching or a connect group. So we have a whole bunch of groups, and we're happy to find a time and a place that's going to work for you. Or if you're able to kind of meet with someone else in your house or a friend, I can send you the material that you can do as a kind of a devotional each week. Practicing the way of Jesus. It's just a beautiful teaching by John Mark Comer. We had our first test drive with my connect group, Suffers Me, being the guinea pigs, and I kind of run it on them. But it was just beautiful, just so good. And practicing the way, that's what the early Christians were called, followers of the way. Jesus said, I am the way. And that's what they were renowned for. So this is just another way to be discipled by Jesus. Really good teaching. Don't miss out. Your choice. Just to give you a little taste, 90-second promo.
Who are you following? Everybody is following somebody or something. Put another way, everyone is a disciple. The question is not, are you a disciple? It's who or what are you a disciple of? 2,000 years ago, Jesus invited his first disciples to come and follow me. And over the last 2 millennia, millions of people have said yes to Jesus' invitation. It's changed not only their lives, but the course of human history. But what does it mean to follow Jesus today? And how do we follow Jesus in our busy, digitally distracted, and increasingly secular cities? The Practicing the Way course is a primer on spiritual formation. It's designed to lay a foundation for you to begin a lifelong spiritual journey of apprenticeship to Jesus. Over 8 sessions, you will hear teaching from myself and other voices on spiritual formation. We'll cover things like what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus, intentional spiritual formation, the practices of Jesus, and more. Each week, you'll have time to process together in conversation, and then we'll send you away with practices and spiritual exercises designed to get the idea of following Jesus into the muscle memory of your body. At the end of the course, we'll help you create your own rule of life and architect your ongoing life around practices and rhythms that slow your busy life down to find joy in God. Join us on the Practicing the Way course.
If you want to be a part of that, come and see me afterwards. Just give us your details. We'll find a place. And my invitation at the end, what I want you to do is, I've just got to closing song. And I want this to be a time where it's like, it's you and Jesus. We can't make this happen for you. It's your choice. We just want to make it available to you. We want to encourage you. We want to create an environment and opportunities. If you don't be discipled by Jesus, plenty of people said no thanks. Plenty of people still say no thanks, but they're missing out. You don't know what you're missing out on. And I'm excited for all the more that Jesus has for me if I'm all in. And he just doesn't want us to be half-hearted, lukewarm. And that's the people say, oh, I've tried church. Yeah, I've tried the Bible. Oh, I've tried. You can't unless if you're half-hearted, if you're lukewarm. It just doesn't work that way. It's a bit, and the analogy I think of, you know, it's walking along a beach and people going snorkeling and you say, no, it's right, I can see from here. I've got my toes in the water. Yeah, it looks pretty good. You have no idea what it's like until you dive in. You won't know what your life could be like until you dive in. That's what he wants. Jesus, all he asks for is give him everything. That's all. But only for our good, not for his. That's why. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, in response to all the goodness of God, present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice. This is just the rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Try it. So, I just want to, just finish off the last few minutes. It's got a song that I want to play. And I just want to invite you, if I'd love for our leaders to pray for you. Again, just put their hand on you and just to allow God to whet your appetite, to prepare your heart, to help you get over the barriers, whatever it might be. So if I could invite you to stand, and if I can invite you just again to take the bold step, you're not just to come forward, again, not that, just a symbolic posture to Jesus so that we can love, we can just bless you, pray for you. If the leaders can just stay there just until people have moved forward, and then I'll just invite all our key leaders and elders, again, just to bless people, just to put your hand on, just if that's all right, just put hand on the shoulder, just bless people, okay? So I'll play this song. Please come forward. Don't miss out. Dive in.